Today is National Equal Pay Day, and we will talk about efforts that are underway in Washington to try to narrow the gap between men and women's salaries. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 8th. So how unequal is the pay between men and women in similar jobs, and why is that the case? Or is the gender pay gap a myth, as some contend? Our guest says the pay gap is very real, and we will discuss with her some possible solutions, and we'll have her react to the news that the Senate may take up the Paycheck Fairness Act this week, and President Obama is signing some executive orders in an attempt to boost salaries for women. And we will welcome your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Fatima Gross Graves, Vice President for Education and Employment at the National Women's Law Center. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thanks very much for joining us. So what is the intent of National Equal Pay Day? What does it commemorate?
You know, the Equal Pay Day marks the time in the year where the women's wages from the prior year where the women's wages catch up to the men's wages for the prior year. So basically, women have to work a little over 3 months into the next year before their overall average wages catch up with men's wages.
So how unequal is the pay between men and women?
Well, in truth, if you look at full-time working men and compare them to full-time working women, the overall wage gap is at 23%. And there have been a lot of studies that have tried to look at this and slice and dice it by education and occupation. And no matter how you really cut the wage gap, it doesn't disappear. It remains.
Where does that 77 cents on the dollar figure come from?
It comes from Department of Labor Statistics. And it looks at all full-time working men and women in the United States.
And it's in all different professions, or are they looking at people who are working in similar fields?
It's all different professions. So in many ways, the 23% less statistic is an overall measure of women's inequality in the workplace.
Yeah.
And some of it is men and women working in the same job who are being paid less. In fact, if you look at Department of Labor statistics by occupation, there is a wage gap in the 111 occupations in all but three. And that is true when women are in women-dominated fields. It's true when men and women are in male-dominated fields, and it's true when men and women are working in an even mix of fields.
What are the
wage gap is more too.
I'm sorry. What are the three professions where it does not exist?
I know that bakers is one, and I don't have information as to why that might be the case. And there are two other professions that aren't coming to mind at the moment.
But in most other professions, even in similar fields, there is men are paid more than women.
Yeah, that's right. Nearly all.
Why is this?
Well, you know, there are a range of factors that people have really tried to examine this. And there have been even people who have studied this issue, followed the same group of students, men and women, coming out of professional schools like law school and medical profession, to try to determine when the wage gap begins. And what they found is that the wage gap starts with the first job, that women receive less pay in their first job, and that gap expands over time. Some of it is that, you know, your new salaries are going to often build on your prior salaries, and women start off at a lower level, and so that's going to build. Some of it is what many people have called the motherhood penalty. And, you know, that is that men and women get paid differences, but there's also a gap between women who are mothers and women who aren't. In fact, when there have been blind studies that have tried to highlight, the influence of being a mother, men have actually gotten higher off salary offers when their resume indicates that they're a father, whereas women get lower salary offers.
Hmm. Well, I mean, isn't it against the law to discriminate, to pay women less than men if they're doing a similar job?
Well, you know, yes, there are 50-year-old laws that say you cannot discriminate in employment. There's the Equal Pay Act, which says you can't discriminate in pay. And then there's Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which turns 50 years old this year, which bans workplace discrimination broadly. So, yes, there are laws in place, but there are a range of reasons why they have not been as effective as they should be. And in truth, there are lots of things that can be done to make them more effective. And there are, you know, some policies that are pending, like the Paycheck Fairness Act, that could do that job.
Yeah, let's talk about the Paycheck Fairness Act. Senator Harry Reid says he's going to bring this up for a vote even before raising the minimum wage. What does the Paycheck Fairness Act do?
Well, the Paycheck Fairness Act really tries to get at some of the underlying problems of pay discrimination and, you know, and make it so that men and women could find out more information about why they are paid, and closes a lot of loopholes in the law. You know, one of the problems with pay discrimination is that it all happens under a veil of secrecy. You know, women are paid less, but won't know that for many, many years down the line, because all of the information around pay lies with their employer. And some employers, matter of fact, about more than half of people who are working in private sector jobs say that their employers would retaliate against them if they even try to talk about wages, if they try to find out information.
And so this would ban any kind of retaliation for discussing salaries?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the president's going to sign in some executive orders today, and I thought that one of his executive orders would do just that, but I think it would only deal with federal contractors.
That's right. So the executive order, you know, really takes a page out of the Paycheck Fairness Act in that it tells federal contractors that you cannot fire workers who want to find out pay information, who want to talk about their wages with their coworkers. But it applies only to federal contractors. It will make a huge difference for those workers, and that, you know, that could impact about 26 million workers. So, it, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at. But the 3/4 of workers that are out there still need more explicit and additional protection.
We are talking about equal pay for equal work. Today is National Equal Pay Day, and we're talking about some of the efforts underway. President Obama expected to sign some executive orders today in an effort to try to boost the salaries of women, and the Senate could take up the Paycheck Fairness Act this week. We are talking with our guest about why a pay gap still exists between women and men and what the solutions might be. And we're welcoming your questions and your views on this. Do you agree that pay equity is a problem for women? Why do you think men and women aren't paid the same? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Fatima Gass Graves, Vice President for Education and Employment at the National Women's Law Center, about pay inequity between men and women, and welcoming your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Why do you think men and women aren't paid the same, and what do you think should be done to fix it? We have a number of people on Facebook, and I wanted you to address, Fatima, the Facebook comment from Peter, who says, "Inequal pay for equal work is a myth. When you account for variables such as a specific job, hours worked, family status, gender-based pay differences disappear. If employers could save 23% of their payroll costs by firing men and hiring women, they would do it in an instant." What's your response to that?
So the 23% statistic isn't only men and women in the same job who are being, you know, women who are being paid less. As I explained before, there are a range of factors that contribute to the overall wage gap. But this has been studied a lot, and every effort to try to control from a range of factors like occupation, like education, has found that a wage gap does still persist, that can't be explained away. The other really important thing is that there are actual cases of pay discrimination that people have tried to bring. The problem is that the laws are too weak to really be both aggressive in addressing them and to have employers take them on at the front end. People don't want to really bring pay discrimination lawsuits. What they really want is for their employers to pay them fairly in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Peter also says that there will always be some variation. Calling it a gender gap implies that it is always in the direction of men making more than women, and that it is somehow caused by a person's gender, neither of which are necessarily true. You're saying that is true, that it is because of gender.
Yeah, I would say it's actually the opposite of that pose. In truth, there is pay discrimination, and that pay discrimination is based on sex. Sometimes pay discrimination is based on other protected categories, like race or other factors. But there is sex-based pay discrimination. And again, the many cases that arise are evidence, and the studies that highlight the differences in pay for men and women also support that fact. But there are other factors that are also sex-based that I think aren't just random variations. So, you know, one good example is that women make up the supermajority of minimum wage workers. You know, they are almost two-thirds of minimum wage earners. And that, you know, many of the lowest paid occupations are dominated by women. At the same time, male-dominated occupations are some of the highest paid occupations. So those are things that our pay discrimination laws may not get to, and that our broader workplace discrimination laws may not get to, but they do reflect a devaluation of women in jobs and women's wages more broadly.
Yeah, meaning that there aren't as many women in making the big bucks, I don't know, as CEOs or on Wall Street. And if
as CEOs on Wall Street, and even at other skilled occupations like in construction, you know, women just make less.
John in Appleton is our first caller. Hi, John.
Hi. Good morning. I just recently saw a study that showed that women don't advocate for themselves as much as they could when they're negotiating salary. If this is the case, instead of passing legislation, I think we should be teaching women how to advocate for themselves more in life and professionally.
Sure. Thanks for that comment. There have been a lot of studies that have looked at negotiation for men and women. And, you know, it is true that women are less likely to negotiate in certain circumstances. But there have been other studies that have shown that when women do negotiate, that they are more likely to experience a penalty if they negotiate in the way that men do. So, for example, when women negotiate with a smile, it's received better, but there's no requirement that men have smiles in their negotiation process. Or when women, if women take steps that are that don't match the gender-based stereotypes, they can sometimes be seen as too aggressive and end up with a lower salary. So, you know, negotiation is a really tricky thing here. The Paycheck Fairness Act does have a provision that would provide some small funds to do things like salary negotiation training. So it's actually part of the overall bill.
Mm-hmm. If this Paycheck Fairness Act simply says to private businesses you cannot retaliate against employees talking openly about their salaries, what is the big opposition? This has been failed a couple of times already in the Senate, and it might fail again.
Well, I hope we'll be successful this time when it comes up. I will tell you that it has some additional provisions. It closes up some of the loopholes in the law and makes the pay discrimination laws more effective. I have to say that I'm not precisely sure the source of all of the opposition. There was a time when civil rights bills were really sort of bipartisan things, and when men and women around the country supported them, that was especially true. And when the Paycheck Fairness Act has been pulled, it shoots through the roof. Men and women in different parts of the country support this bill and support improving our pay discrimination laws. It's a priority.
Amy on Facebook says, I have had two jobs where I have found out that I was making less than a man doing the same job. Two times proven. I wonder how many times I didn't know or how many other women don't discover this difference. When I worked for jobs that had a union, it did not happen. I was paid for the job, not my gender. For example, the Wisconsin Teachers Union, she makes as an example. When I was in sales, I was proven to be a better salesman, but was paid less if there was any hourly or salary pay. And you don't think that Amy's experience is unique?
You know, Amy's experience, unfortunately, is not unique. What may be different is that she actually found out she was being paid less. A lot of people never learn that fact. And there's no question that women who are in unions make more. The wage gap is much smaller among union workers. It's much smaller among public sector workers. And part of the reason is that there is a greater level of transparency. Part of the reason is some of the additional protections that unions provide. But this is a story that we hear time and again from people when they do finally find out. They're usually pretty shocked because they would have assumed that their employer would have done the right thing in the first instance and paid them fairly.
Let's go to Zachary in Oshkosh. Hello, Zachary.
Hello. I was wondering if this applies strictly to women with bachelor's degrees versus men with bachelor's degrees, or if it has to do with, like, retail and fast food and more of those entry-level jobs as well.
You know, it applies across the board. Women at some of the highest levels have really done a good job of documenting the wage gap. There's been a lot of information that's come out around the wage gap among lawyers, for example, that the National Association of Women Lawyers and the American Bar Association has put out. But there is a wage gap in some of the lowest paid jobs among retail workers. I think the wage gap is, one of the highest. And there's a wage gap in almost all of the women-dominated occupations. So it is not an issue just for high-paid professional women. It's an issue even in the lowest-paid jobs.
Ryan from Prairie du Chien asks, I heard that women under 30 are now out-earning men. Is this true?
Well, what's interesting about, there have been a couple of statistics that have looked at women living, who are single, living in urban areas who are in their 20s. And those women who have higher education are out-earning men with lower levels of education. So that statistic is true. That statistic doesn't say anything about the overall wage gap for women, and it also doesn't say anything about women doing similar things. So it in some ways is misleading because it doesn't give the full picture of what women in different parts of the country are doing and what's happening when women and men are in the same occupation.
We are talking about some efforts that are underway to try to narrow the gap, the pay gap between men and women. Today is National Equal Pay Day, and President Obama is expected to sign some executive orders dealing with federal contractors. The Senate may take up the Paycheck Fairness Act this week, and we are welcoming your questions and your views for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Today is National Equal Pay Day, and President Obama is expected to sign a couple of executive orders, including one that would add new gender and race reporting requirements for federal contractors. Also, the Senate is planning to take up the Paycheck Fairness Act this week. We are talking about the gender pay gap this hour and some possible solutions and welcoming your questions and views. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Tuesday, April 8th. Our guest is also countering arguments that the gender pay gap is a myth and giving us her take on some of the solutions to the gender pay gap. And we welcome your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Fatima Goss Groves, Vice President for Education and Employment at the National Women's Law Center. And we have already talked about the Paycheck Fairness Act. We've talked about one of the executive orders that the president was signing that would bar federal contractors from retaliating if people talk about their salaries. But this other one that he is signing today that would add new gender and race reporting requirements for federal contractors submitting wage data, how significant is this?
This is going to be extremely important, in large part because of how secret pay discrimination is. You know, right now, all of the information about employer practices really lies with the employer. And so this would require the employers to provide information to the Department of Labor, and the Department of Labor could then conduct systemic investigations that are more effective and more efficient using this information about what employees are being paid by race and gender. But even more important is that the process of engaging in a self-evaluation, having companies look at what they are paying their employees, is the type of process that could help to identify pay disparities, even if an employer hadn't yet detected it. And so having an employer become aware of a pay disparity and understand that they're going to turn this information over to the Department of Labor means that it's more likely that pay discrimination will be detected, and it is more likely that the employer will do something voluntarily to fix it.
We'll take some other calls. We have Laura in Milwaukee with us. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Well, I worked at one place for 27 years. And the rules were at the place, if you worked a higher job grade, that you would get the pay after 6 months, the full pay instead of a quarter. Well, I worked one job for a year. I kept talking to the supervisor, went down to personnel. Nobody would do anything. We had associate rep meetings. I was picked for the rep meeting in front of the it's the whole company. It's a big place. It's on Burleigh. And I put all my check stubs on the table in front of the big boss. I mean, the big boss. And put all my production numbers in front of them. And I said, why am I not paid a grade 8 job? Yeah. They were paying me a 6.
Well, how does that relate to it?
And then they fired the supervisor.
All right. I mean, but this is a grade of a job, Laura. Do you think that was because you were a woman that you were getting paid a lower grade?
Yeah. The supervisor said that the guys needed the money more than I did.
Oh. Well, that was the old excuse, Fatima.
It's the old excuse, but it's the same. It's the same old excuse, right? It's the excuse that continues to underlie the reason that we see some pay disparities, the outdated notions that women's wages don't matter. I'm so sorry that that happened to you, caller.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I guess she, it worked out in the end. I mean, is that what it takes? Is women, going to the boss and threatening action to get the equitable pay?
You know, we hear about stories like this a lot, where women do sort of take it onto themselves and stand up and are able to get higher pay. But you really want, as the employer, to be concerned about hiding pay practices and do it. And take care of it him or herself so that employees don't have to take these extraordinary measures. And if you have an employer who refuses to make the changes, what you want are strong laws that provide real protections so that someone can recover and ultimately be paid fairly.
A listener asks, how does the extremely low wage for waitresses affect the overall statistics? And says there are probably more waitresses than there are waiters.
Well, you know, it is a huge, huge problem. There's a wage gap between waitresses and waiters. That is for sure. But the bigger problem is that, you know, right now women are making up the majority of tipped wage earners, and that, you know, and time after time when minimum wage laws are increased, and it's been a long time since the federal minimum wage law was increased, but time after time what you've seen is that tipped workers are left behind. So that has a huge impact on women and their families.
Well, besides the Paycheck Fairness Act, besides the executive orders that the president is signing today to try to, to boost the salary for women, what needs to happen to narrow this gender pay gap?
Well, that takes me back to addressing the minimum wage, that with women being 2/3 of minimum wage workers and the supermajority of tipped workers, we need a boost in the minimum wage to make a difference. So that's one really key thing. You know, you also need a real investment in pathways to higher paid jobs for women. So, you know, there are lots of things that could be done around having pathways to construction and to science, technology, and engineering and math, and removing the types of barriers that limit women's participation in those fields. Those are other things we'd like to see. But we also think you need to do something to address the pervasive penalty that women who are pregnant and caregiving face in the workplace. You know, some of that is outright discrimination that, you know, we see too many instances of women who are pregnant, who are pushed off the job, not given opportunities, and where stereotypes about them as workers have led to fewer opportunities. But that's true for women who are caregiving, who are mothers. And then the last thing that I'll say is that our workplace policies have not been updated to reflect the fact that men and women are working at basically equal rates now. And so having a workplace where there aren't basic things like paid sick days and paid leave, or where some workplaces have work schedules that are so inflexible and so rigid that they don't allow people to really attend to work and to family. You know, all of those things undermine women's economic security, and all of those things contribute to the wage gap.
Yeah. Is there anything that should be done about female-dominated professions being paid less than male-dominated professions? Is there any way to raise or boost the pay of those professions?
Well, some of it, because some female-dominated professions pay such low wages, basically pay the minimum wage or less, raising the minimum wage is mm-hmm. one strategy. There's also in Congress a bill introduced by Senator Harkin called the Fair Pay Act. That bill would, for public sector workers, require the payment of equivalent wages for equivalent jobs, and you know, taking those types of steps could really make a difference when you're talking about men and women's occupations that require similar skill and similar effort, but are paid very different wages, in part because they are dominated by men versus dominated by women.
Our guest is Fatima Goss-Graves, Vice President for Education and Employment at the National Women's Law Center, talking with us about Equal Pay Day, which is today, and efforts underway in Washington to try to address the gender pay gap. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to join in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 11 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 8th. Our next caller to talk about equal pay for equal work is Paul in Middleton. Hello, Paul.
Good morning to you both. Yeah, I don't understand what the difficulty is in bringing forth this legislation or why it can't be passed or the objections or whatever they are. I mean, we do have a model for equal pay for equal work, and that's the United States military. Unless you were in a specialty that got special pay, everybody got paid the same if you were in the pay grade E4, E5, E6, or 01, 02, 03. So, and to my way of thinking, what's the problem? Let's do it. Get it done. We've got a model. It works. No one claims discrimination. Everybody gets the same pay. It's easy enough done, right?
Fatima.
Well, I certainly agree with you that we should just get it done. And in the military and in the public sector more broadly, the wage gap is much smaller. So, there's no objection here with that. And the Paycheck Fairness Act has twice passed the House of Representatives in a way that was bipartisan. And it came very close a few years ago to passing in the Senate. It was just two votes shy of beating back a filibuster. So it got 58 votes, which, you know, when I try to explain that to my kids about why you can have a majority but still not get a law passed, you know, it's completely, they completely don't get it. But in any event, I'm confident that we're going to get this done at some point. I really hope we start that down that road this week, and that Senator Reid brings it up, and that the Senate actually passes it. But this is something that, when polled, people in different parts of the country, in different political parties, men and women, all say is important to them.
Let's go to Mark in Eau Claire next. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I see this. When I was with the union, you're right, we got paid equal. I run my own business, and I don't care who is gets paid for what the product is. I've seen this more as an economic issue and definitely affects women, but it affects education, it affects race, whatever an employer wants to use to reduce the pay so their profit goes up, that's what they use. And I'm glad to see the collective coming together, whether it's a man that's taking time away to raise his children or take care of elderly and he has to take time off, or a woman, they're being affected fairly equal when they assume those roles. So I look at it as a real economic driver, and we need to get together as an economic base rather than just a gender base.
Fatima?
Well, there's no question that this is an issue that is about fairness, that affects women, but it is a dollars and cents economic issue for family, and it's an economic issue for businesses. Some businesses may think that it is more profitable to discriminate, but over time, I think that's not true, because I think what ends up happening is you lose really good people, maybe your top talented performers, your top workers, to discrimination. So it's not in business's interest either.
Let's take another call. Linda in West Bend. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a question. In all the studies that have been done, what other factors have been looked at besides gender? I've been an employee at many different places, and I've done a lot of hiring at different places, and there's so many different factors that you take into account. Nobody's exactly equal. Their backgrounds aren't the same when they come into a job. There's education, there's past work experience, and even if something isn't a requirement for a job, if somebody has something that differentiates them, it can make them perform very differently at their job. So I'm kind of wondering what other factors have been looked at.
Well, in fact, Bill on Facebook says, this equal pay legislation does not take into account ability, performance, or years of service, along with many other things that truly go into the pay scale and what people are actually worth. This is a step backward for people who work hard versus people who do not. You want to react to that?
Sure. In terms of the studies that are out there have controlled for many of the factors that you've named. They control for not just education and for occupation or field. They control for experience, for family status, for work hours. Pretty much anything that you can think of that can be studied in a statistical way, and they have not been able to disprove the fact of a wage gap. In terms of the legislation, with all due respect to Bill, that's actually not true. The legislation requires that you find a person who is basically doing your same job with the same skill, effort, and responsibility, who's being paid more than you because of gender. And then even after you're able to find that basically identical twin who's being paid more than you, your employer still is allowed to come back and provide explanations for that pay difference. And the legitimate explanations are accepted under the Paycheck Fairness Act. There are some things like paying someone different for things like differences in merit, differences in performance, differences in education and experience are all examples that are identified in the bill. What the bill does say, however, is that you can't just provide a reason that isn't tied to your business. And right now, unfortunately, that is something that is unclear in the law. And employers want to sort of point to intangible market forces as a justification for paying men and women different salaries. The old idea that, men should be paid more. Men can command more in the marketplace. Men need more money because they have families. All of those things are based on stereotypes about the market and just perpetuate the very thing that the equal pay laws were designed to address.
Our next caller is Marty in Milwaukee. Hello, Marty.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Read a report just recently that, and again, I apologize, I don't know if it's true. Obviously, everything you read on the internet is not necessarily true, but that the Obama White House actually pays females, I think it was 12% less than males. And just interested in your guests' thoughts and comments on that, you know, leading by example. It would be great to see equal pay in the White House. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Do you know if that's
true? So I've seen that analysis, too, that the overall wage gap in the White House is 12%. And, you know, the response I've seen from the White House is that they have conducted an analysis looking at men and women performing equivalent jobs, and there isn't a wage gap when you're looking at those. And so here's a way in which I think that the White House really is leading by example. Our equal pay laws are really designed to get at people who are basically doing the same thing. So if the White House is told that they have this 12% wage gap, conducting an analysis to see what's driving it is the very first thing that an employer should do. So, you know, they say they don't have a wage gap for men and women with equivalent jobs. That's a really important thing. So their wage gap is likely driven by the fact that there are more men in higher paid positions at the White House, you know, the higher level positions, and more women in some of the lower level positions. So it seems to me, and I don't know the details of the study, but you know, that is something that they should be thinking about too. And my guess is they are.
You know, some of the articles on equal pay day and what's happening in Washington have made note of this being a big political issue during this election year, and that there is actually a push and a coordinated effort by Democrats to draw attention to this issue. What's your reaction to that?
You know, what's interesting is the public polling shows that Republicans and Democrats support, you know, addressing equal pay. And so, I think it wouldn't be a political issue if everyone was on board with it. And the Paycheck Fairness Act is something that has been bipartisan in the past. It passed the House 2 times with Republican support. And what we're also seeing at the state level is that some of these bills are coming up unanimously. New Hampshire passed a bill unanimously out of its Senate. You know, it still has to go through its House, but Republicans and Democrats both supported and had many of the same measures that the Paycheck Fairness Act does.
Yeah, and do you see a day when we're not going to be talking about pay inequities between men and women?
You know, that is my goal. It 50 years ago, the wage gap was 59. Women were making only 59 cents to every dollar men were paid. So there's no question that we have made dramatic progress in that time, but we have really, really stalled. And so I think if we have a very concerted effort, and an effort across all fronts, one that deals with discrimination in the same job, one that deals with the factors that leave women in low-paid jobs and boost the incomes in those jobs, one that deals with the workplace issues that make it hard for working families.
We'll close that gap. I need to jump in. Thank you so much for being with us. This is the Ideas Network.